warning of increased deficits in electricity generation here for the next decade and a call for a Europe-wide response to the energy crisis. Keeping the lights on this winter and next is again centre stage today at an informal meeting of European leaders in Prague, more from that presently, while here the state energy operator Airgrid has said a shortage of power generation will mean significant capacity deficits up to 2031. Airgrid CEO Mark Foley says that while a tight winter awaits, it would still take an extraordinary confluence of events for blackouts to occur in the coming months. Nevertheless, Airgrid says further new electricity generation will be required to meet increasing demand and to bridge the transition to renewables. We're joined now by the Green Party leader and Minister for the Environment, Climate and Communications, Eamon Ryan, who's in our Dáil studio. Minister, welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Brian. Good afternoon.
So an extraordinary confluence of events is what Airgrid says will be required to result in blackouts this winter. But I suppose that does put it within the realm of possibility. What's the plan if that possibility occurs?
It is possible. The Airgrid have published both their winter outlook looking at this immediate winter and forward 10 years. And on both, we are tight on supply. We do have to deliver the power to keep this country working. And we will do that. We will do that into the future by building new generation, by building renewable and backup power that complements it, by being very efficient in how we use energy, by using smart meters and using more interconnection with neighbouring markets to make sure we can balance our supply. And this winter, it's the same approach. We've been working with all the energy companies. I was speaking to a lot of them this morning on this and the issue about affordability, how we get through this winter. That's probably the first concern. It is protecting those on lowest incomes, those who are at most risk. It is, secondly, one of the ways we will do this, as we will do it over the next 10 years, is to be clever in the way we use energy, to make sure we manage demand, particularly that we reduce peak time usage, because that saves us money, that reduces the risk of not having enough power. We have worked with the companies to make sure that all the power plants that are there have been serviced, and you can't guarantee this. This is why there's no guarantees.
And if the supply minister isn't able to meet the demand, what happens?
That happens on a fairly regular basis, Brian. You know that, and you more than anyone else would know, in winter we have storms, and there's quite often periods when large sections of the country, for a period of hours, may not have power available. So that's something we're used to managing, and it would be similar in that sense, that it would be very short, it would be located to certain areas. Before that would happen, though, we can,
who would decide, and how would it be determined how long the blackouts would be, and what areas or what customers would be affected?
Airgrid manage that, and they do it in a coordinated, organised way. But before that would happen, and why what Airgrid has said is correct, there are other mechanisms we have to avoid that. One of the ways is to work with large industrial energy users and to say to them, if there were circumstances where we're short, that they would manage their demand in a way to avoid that eventuality. So it is something that we would manage.
Is there a way to protect particularly people in their own homes who might be vulnerable, who might for essential reasons need power, hospitals, medical facilities? Is there a way of ring fencing those customers from power cuts if they have to be implemented?
Yes, there is, and particularly hospitals, obviously, say, are those at home with particular medical needs, mechanisms, and where if they are on essential equipment that they have to provide, make sure that they have battery or other backup facilities, that they're not at risk. But as I said, we don't expect this. We do have to manage look at every possibility, and if in the circumstances this happens, protect the most vulnerable.
And how much warning might people get, do you think?
The warning, in case it is a number of hours, not a number of days, because it would be only in certain circumstances that would apply, but we don't expect it. I think the first most important thing we need to do is to actually help every customer through what's going to be a difficult winter, regardless of the issue about how much power is available, also what the price of that power is. And I think that actual process will help us get through the winter, not just in terms of managing people's bills, but also reducing the risk of power outages.
Minister, at the heart of this, and Airgrid make this point, is a shortage of generation. We don't have really all the generating capacity that we need, and that's something they've been saying since at least 2016. It's been clear to them. Why are we still in that situation after so many years of warnings from Airgrid and others?
The main reason we're in a shortfall this winter and next is because an auction process which started in 2019 didn't deliver the power that we expected to. As soon as we found that out in early 2021, we immediately reacted as a government. We introduced a mechanism to procure and then purchase additional backup generation, the generation that wasn't delivered in that 2019 auction. That will come on stream next year. That will make up the shortfall. The second reason why there was a shortfall was that we did have a major increase in demand, particularly of the like of data centres. Again, under this government, as soon as we came into office, realising that there was a difficulty working with EirGrid and CRU, we changed the rules to make sure that any new connections would actually complement and help back up our system.
You see, on that auction system which you've referred to there, EirGrid doesn't seem convinced. They say that, and I'm quoting from their report today, not all of the recently awarded capacity can deliver for the 1st October in the capacity year. Additionally, it's our view that there are some projects which have significant technical or planning challenges that could mean non-delivery within the period.
And if that is the case, then we will go back and change the way the auction system works, working with CRU, the regulator which designs this, and EirGrid. We work collectively to make sure that we will have the power for this country into the future. There is a real challenge. It is difficult, but we will do it because we do need that power. We need that power for our industry. We need that power for our homes. Yep. But more than anything else, we need certainty. And that will be provided. If the current auction system isn't delivering that, then we'll go back
but
and
it
revise.
Is, I mean, the point we made is that it isn't. And that seems quite clear.
Those auctions are looking forward 4 years. If we're finding that in that process that it isn't delivering, as I said, we will change. More immediately, in the next 2 years, we will deliver the 700 megawatts which we've designed or to be delivered in a separate system, recognising we have had a problem on our capacity markets. That will give us the space and the room to not just ramp up new gas-fired power generation, but also look at new battery storage systems, new pumped storage systems, new interconnection to other markets. There's a variety of different ways in which we can and will meet our power needs, and we will make sure that that is done.
All right. You mentioned that you've been meeting the power companies today, and I think there's further meetings planned tomorrow. And one of the issues you've been talking about is protecting vulnerable customers over the winter. Now, there is a moratorium, we're told, in place for people who are bill pay customers, but it's not entirely unconditional, is it? People have to engage with the energy companies if they're in difficulty.
And that makes sense. I mean, it does make sense to engage with the energy companies and also the likes of MAPS or the Social Welfare Office or the Vincent de Paul or other agencies which do have the resources and the expertise and the skill to help people through difficult times. Also recognising that what we did in the budget for those on lower incomes will provide a support which is equivalent to the increase in the energy prices that we expect. Mm. So there will always be customers in difficulty. The advice is always to engage both with your energy company and with the other agencies which are there to help.
And what have you been looking for from the energy companies in your meetings with them?
I was looking for that they show real further flexibility. Come back to what I was saying on that time of day pricing so that they can really help customers save money. That's, I think, one of the best ways that we can actually lower bills and get the country through a difficult period. That we make sure that we have the right tariffs so if people are generating their own power, that people can sell power on and have a real incentive to do that. Households right across this country are looking to put solar panels on the roof. Mm. We've changed the planning law so they can do so. We've changed the market rules so they can get paid for it. What I was saying to the energy companies, we need to help our households here now to be flexible and to be smart in how we use energy. Use the 1 million smart meters that have already been rolled out to help us get through this winter.
And what are the energy providers saying to you about, particularly their pay-as-you-go customers and how they'll be protected?
Well, firstly, I'd have to say, because there's been a lot of commentary about pay-as-you-go and kind of being a particular difficulty. One of the things we have to remember, pay-as-you-go is actually a very good, flexible facility that a lot of consumers pick because it actually gives them control of their bills. On average, I think pay-as-you-go customers are saving, I think it is 8% of power. So it actually is a mechanism that has real advantages and there's real flexibility in it, which actually works. It works for customers. Mm-hmm. Where customers have difficulties, where customers, even with the advantages you get with some of those pay-as-you-go systems, have difficulties, that's where, as I said, You have to engage with the company. And there are mechanisms and there are funds and there are provisions that those who are in real difficulty and can't do that top up, that they can get support, and that support is there. The best way to access it is to engage with their supply company and the other agencies who are there to help.
Just finally, before I let you go, Minister, we'll be hearing from Prague in just a few minutes, where European leaders are meeting. One of the issues on the agenda is energy. And one of the most difficult, it seems, issues just at the moment on EU terms is trying to agree a common EU position on this. Germany, we know, has put in place its own plan to try and €200 billion to try and contain energy costs this winter. Is there going to be a coordinated, do you think, EU response to this?
There is. At the Energy Council meeting last Friday, we had that coordination in how we get the windfall gains from the energy industries back to the consumers, and how we agree on this, what I was talking just a few minutes ago about that flexible demand, or the way you manage flexible demand. There is further actions we need to take, in my mind, particularly in the international gas markets where the price is set, which is causing all these difficulties. I myself and the Taoiseach have worked very, very closely with our other European colleagues on this. I think there's a role for the likes of the International Energy Agency so that we talk to other supply countries, the likes of the US, Norway, UK and others, and also to major consuming countries, the likes of Japan, Korea. And I think one of the approaches I'm taking is to make that more international approach. I'll be visiting the UK on Monday to meet the UK Energy Minister. It's through cooperation that we will, I think, best work through this whole process.
Minister and Green Party leader Eamon Ryan, thanks for talking to us on the News at One.